I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Once you find 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like for you to find verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. And then, stand with me, if you would, please. We'll do this out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse number 12. Then if you look back at me for just a second, let me make a little statement. It'll take me a couple of minutes to get where we're going. I'm going to give you some scripture about the resurrection and say a few things about the resurrection. The whole crux, if you will, the part of the sermon that I want to get to is going to be toward the end of my talking today. But if you'll hang in there, we'll get to it. But I want to talk about the fact that Jesus, of course, has arisen. He's up from that grave, and it affects us. It affects us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse number 12. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We will come back to that scripture. Today is the day that we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was put in a grave, but he got out of that grave to make salvation available to all mankind. I call the sermon this morning, The Greatest Miracle in History. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, bless us today. Lord, my mind is running in 20 different directions. I pray that you'll still my mind, intensify my focus. And God, I would want nothing more than to keep my eyes on you and on the truth of the Bible so that I might deliver to these folks a sermon that will help them as we look toward the resurrection of your Son. God, minimize the interruptions today. Maximize the attention. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and make sure, God, that you get your way and your will. Father, I surrender my voice to you. I surrender my mind to you. Now might all of us surrender our minds and ears to you so that we get out of this sermon what we ought to. Bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. What a great miracle, the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We know that's a great miracle. And then from that point on in history, the greatest historical event was when that very same Jesus was crucified, put in a grave, and he resurrected from the dead. I've got to tell you, I got to asking myself about what are people's opinions of what a modern day miracle would be. And so I did what our modern generation does. I Googled it. Let me tell you what Google. Now, I don't know if you all, but I've got an off and on relationship with Siri. Sometimes does it my way, sometimes it does it her way, and so. But Google, I have a little more control over that. I just Googled. I asked about modern miracles, and stay with me. Now I'll tell you what they Google said. Some modern day miracles are. A young man at the age of 14. His name was Jack Fox. Kind of reminds you of me, doesn't it? He's from South. It's not that funny, Uriah. Jack Fox, age 14 years of age, from Salzburg, Austria. In February of 2015, he was visiting with his parents, and they were on top of a mountain, 2,500 feet up. And he slipped and he fell all the way off that mountain and hit the ground from 2,500 feet. And all he needed was one single Band-Aid on his elbow. And Google said that was a pretty big miracle. Now, that is a big miracle. And I'm sure Jack is real pleased with that one Band-Aid. Then, this was another miracle that Google gave me. Sissy, Not referring to you, Mike. Don't worry. I'm not going down that path. Sissy, a miniature schnauzer from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, was owned by Nancy Franek. Nancy had gone to the Mercy Medical Center for surgery. Sissy and Nancy lived 20 blocks away from the Mercy Medical Center. And she, Nancy checked in, and on the day of her surgery, Sissy came up missing. Sissy traveled 20 blocks. Now remember, this is Sissy, the miniature schnauzer, went 20 blocks, found the Mercy Medical Center, got all the way into the building, couldn't figure out how to push the button on the elevator. The guy, the host went over and looked at her her dog tag that had the owner's name on it. He just happened to look to see if Nancy was in the hospital, and she was, and the dog was able to go visit her owner the day of the surgery. And so now, you dog lovers, you got to give me credit. And Google said that's a pretty big miracle, and indeed it is. See if your pet cow will do that. Google said the 1969, it was July 20th, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, the spaceship Apollo 11, and Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins were on that. Some of you remember that. It was a big deal, a miracle, when man landed on the moon. Google also told me, a modern-day miracle, Janine Louise Calament lived to be 122 years and 164 days old. Boy, that's a nice ripe old age. Get that, 122 years plus 164 days. And Google said that was a modern day miracle. Then another modern day miracle, the Yahoo company, you know, Yahoo of the internet, on their 20th anniversary, they had 3,432 employees that simultaneously in the same place, of course, at the same time, yodeled their company jingle. Google thought that was a miracle worth you knowing about. Now, 3,432 people yodeling anything is, I guess, a miracle for some. That, get this, a church in Budapest used 450,000 Legos and built a structure that was 114 foot high. Took them 24 hours a day for 4 days in a row. So you Lego fans, Google thinks that's a pretty big miracle. And then finally, the last one that I decided I would give you, this is better than studying your Bible. I'm giving you this stuff. And in 2014, you all know how to play rock, paper, scissors, you know how to do that. In 2014, there was a rock, paper, scissors competition with 2,950 people that played rock, paper, scissors at the same time to the end of the game. And Google thought that was a pretty big miracle of our generation. As you can see, the miracles in our generation have been whittled down to very little of anything. But I can tell you about a miracle. I can tell you about God sending his son to die for mankind, and they put him in a grave, and 3 days later, he literally, on his own, rose up out of that grave. Now, that's a miracle. And so, you know, that's not a folk story. That's not a wives' tale. That's not a historical myth. That's not a religious parable. That's not a Hollywood production. It's not an entertaining myth or a bedtime dream. It's not a false nursery rhyme. It literally happened. He was all the way dead, and he resurrected all the way back to life. That is incredible. Now, stay with me. Like I said, it'll take me a few minutes from where we're at to where we're going, but we'll get there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has been denied by many. They have what they call the fraud theory. That's where they say the disciples just invented the whole thing. But they call it the fraud theory. And just so you know, they were frauds that called it the fraud theory because Jesus truly did get up out of that grave. Then there was another theory that they used to try to disprove the resurrection, and they call it the swoon theory, S-W-O-O-N, saying that Christ merely fainted on the cross and he didn't die. And later on, he regained consciousness. There's only one problem with that. The Bible says he died, and God can't lie. And so he died. He was all the way dead. You heard the old terminology, deader than a doornail. Now, I've seen a lot of nails. I've never seen any of them alive. But doornails must be exceptionally dead. But Jesus was as dead as a doornail, and he did come back from the grave. So the swoon theory is false. Then, they call it the vision theory. And that's get this. This is actually out there among so-called the religious skeptics. They say the disciples were all getting high, and when they were high, they seen a vision of Jesus coming back from the grave. Now, the one suffering from burnout was not the disciples. It was the wacko that came up with the vision theory. The people that believed the vision theory said he was on LSD, you know. Beatniks, tie-dye, broken peace signs, and all that. That's what they said. Then, they have what they call the spirit theory. And that is that it was only the spirit of Jesus Christ that arose. But the Bible very clearly teaches it was his body. He physically came up out of that grave. Then, they have a theory that they call the heart theory. H-E-A-R-T. That theory says that he was resurrected only in the hearts of his friends. But history tells us that not only his friends, but his enemies seen a physical body of the one that had resurrected. Now, so those theories, people have tried to disprove that Jesus got up out of that grave, but they have failed at it miserably. If you think about it, they tried to disprove it all the way back then, and here we are many thousands of years later, and Jesus is still being promoted, and Easter is still a pretty big deal, and we continue to realize that up from the grave he arose. The resurrection was even doubted by some people in the Bible. There were some ladies that went to the Christ's gravesite or to the tomb right afterwards. Let me read a scripture to you. Mark chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, it says, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, 'Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?'" They didn't expect the stone to be rolled away. They had their doubts that Jesus was really going to come out of the grave. But they didn't need to roll the stone back. That was already taken care of. You say, why? He was not in there. But they had their doubts. It was doubted by the apostles. In Luke chapter 24, verse 10 and 11, it says, "And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." They called it idle tales. So you know, that idle tale has now lasted hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, and it wasn't a tale, it was a factual event. Jesus Christ came out of that grave. It was doubted by Mary Magdalene that maybe Jesus would rise from the dead. In John chapter 20, verse number 13, it says, "And they said unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She saith unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.'" She even looked in the tomb, and he was gone, said, "Where in the world? They took him somewhere. They didn't take him anywhere. He went somewhere. They didn't take him, he went." He got up, and he started to walk around and was walking around, but she doubted the truth of the resurrection. It was doubted by two disciples on the Emmaus Road. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Now, Jesus had told the disciples he was going to get up out of that grave, and word had spread that he had resurrected. Now he's walking with some of his disciples and starts talking to them, and they're thinking, "Who's this guy?" They had no idea that the resurrection was factual and it had really happened. It was doubted by Thomas. Y'all remember the name that he has as a nickname? They call him what? Doubting Thomas. Why? He doubted the resurrection in John chapter 20. It's a very ironic thing that all those, even the people, some of the people closest to him, doubted the resurrection back in that time. But I'm glad for the people who have said through history, it's factual, it happened, it's a real thing. For instance, you can go back into the Old Testament. And David in Psalm chapter 16, verse number 10 said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Thine Holy One was Jesus Christ. He was not going to corrupt in a grave because he physically arose from that grave, and so has he ever been alive. But even David told us of the resurrection. Jesus himself on many occasions talks about his resurrection. The very first time, listen to this, he talks about his own resurrection in John chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, thou wilt rear it up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said." Jesus came to them and he said, "Look, you're going to put my temple in a grave, but in 3 days I will raise it up again. You'll tear me down, but I'm getting up." Now, some of the religious people said, "When you talk about the temple, it took us 40 years to build this church building. You think you're going to tear it down and build it up in 3 days?" He said, "You didn't get it. I wasn't talking about the temple of the church building. I was talking about the temple of God, which I am, and you're going to crucify me, put me down, but I'm not staying down. I'm getting up." And then later on, when he did get up, they said, "Ha-ha, you remember that day? He was talking about tearing it down and building it up. He's up. He built her up." That's what happened. Jesus again mentions the resurrection himself in Matthew 16:21. Jesus again a third time mentions a resurrection about himself in Matthew 17:9. He says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the grave." Over and over again, Jesus mentions his own resurrection. He mentions it a fourth time in Matthew chapter 17, and a fifth time in Matthew chapter 20, and a sixth time in John 14:19. He said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." He's talking about the resurrection. Jesus mentioned it again in John chapter 16, verse 18. The Old Testament prophet Hosea mentions it in Hosea chapter 13, verse number 14. Jesus then, after he resurrected, he makes 14 appearances after his death that confirm his bodily resurrection. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 28. There were women that were returning to and from the tomb in Matthew 28. He appeared to them as well. He appeared to Peter later that very same day. He appeared to the apostles of Emmaus in that evening in Luke chapter 24. He appeared to the apostles, everybody except for Thomas, in the upper room in John chapter 20, verse number 19. All that happened on the very same day of his resurrection. Then, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, he appears again physically to people. For instance, he appears to the apostles. This time, Thomas is present in John chapter 20. He appears in Galilee to people by the lake of Tiberias in John chapter 21. In Galilee, on a mountain, there were 500 believers in 1 Corinthians 15 that got to see Jesus bodily resurrected. In Jerusalem, he appears to James in 1 Corinthians 5:7. On Mount Olive, at the time of his ascension, Acts chapter 1, he appears. Then, the last 4 happen over the next 50 to 60 years. You all realize that Paul on the Damascus Road seen Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 9. Stephen saw Jesus Christ outside of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 7. Paul seen Jesus in the temple in Acts 22. John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. Now you say, what is all of this? Over and over and over again in the scripture, Old Testament prophets said, he will rise again. People that were alive at the time of the resurrection said, we saw him the day of the resurrection. People a week after said, we seen him a week after the resurrection. People a month after said, we seen him a month after the resurrection. Somebody else said it was 2 months after the resurrection. Finally, he went to heaven, and he's forever been alive in heaven. Hey, we don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a dead Jesus. We sang it earlier. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Now, there are so many proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. There's the proof of the empty tomb. In John chapter 20, they got to his tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And you know, his clothing, that they had wrapped him in, it was all folded up very nicely and laid on the bed where they had laid him. The empty tomb proved he had resurrected from that grave. Hey, the attitude and the behavior of his disciples helped to prove the resurrection. You say, why? Well, let me tell you something. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples, they got frightened. And to be honest, they got a little down and depressed about his resurrection. Some of them were saying, boy, I don't know if we can do this. And they were getting ready to throw in the towel. But I want you to understand, Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, he appeared to those disciples. And the next thing you know, a bunch of defeated, downtrodden disciples all of a sudden have a smile on their face. They're walking around and saying, okay, he's got this covered. He did what he said he was going to do. And they walked away from the incident, not depressed, but encouraged. And so his empty tomb said, he got up out of the grave. His disciples that started out in disbelief saw him physically, and as a result of that, they got encouraged and felt like they said, we can do this. We can go forward. Now, and not only that, let me tell you something. If those are not enough, I thank God his resurrection affected me. I was lost in my sin and on my way to hell, and somebody told me that Jesus had been born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years, then he was crucified, they put him in a grave, and from that grave, he resurrected to make salvation available to me, and if I would get saved, he would secure me a place in heaven, and then, after I got saved, I could live a victorious Christian life. Let me tell you all something. It worked. It worked. I got saved, and he took me from a mess as a teenage boy, lost and on my way to hell. I got saved, and I've been experiencing spiritual victory ever since. You can take whatever proof you want about the resurrection, but let me tell you something. That resurrection affected Jeff Owens. I got a dose of the resurrected Jesus Christ, and God changed my life. I'm a different person because of the resurrection. You can doubt it all you want, but let me tell you something. I got it firsthand. I saw Jesus. He saved me. He changed me. You say, did you see him physically? No, and if I did, I would hide under the couch. Boy, he stepped into my life at the time of my salvation. The resurrection that sealed the deal so I didn't have to go to hell. Somebody told me he would save me and change me, and he saved me, and he changed me. And I'm still changed to this day. Earlier, I read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the actual scripture that the sermon comes from. I'm done with the invitation. I'm done with the introduction. Let me point something out to you very quickly, and we'll be on our way. The resurrection, if you were listening to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it tells us about the importance of that resurrection. Listen to this. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. God tells us this thing of the resurrection is a pretty big deal. This miracle of the resurrection, very important to you and I. You say, why? Because you understand that all gospel preaching has always been and will always be attached to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
If God's son Jesus came and died and he went in the grave and stayed there, we don't have anything to preach about. All the preaching in the world comes to nothing if Jesus is not a living Savior. So folks, let me tell you something. The belief in the resurrection is a pretty big deal. The Bible said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ be not risen, look right this way, if Christ be not risen, then your preaching is vain. You know, I have preached 37,000 sermons in my lifetime. Do you understand if Jesus was still in that grave and he did not get up out of that grave, I wasted my time preaching 37,000 sermons. I preached over 1 million people now in my lifetime. Do you understand that if Jesus Christ was not risen, I wasted 1 million people's time? There are thousands of people that listen to sermons on the internet, go to our church website and listen. Let me tell you something. We're all just wasting our time. Why would we go to church? Why would we hear preaching? Why would we listen to preaching on cassette tapes, which I know they're out of date, or CDs, or with your MP3, or your 8-track, or however you listen to them. Hey, don't laugh. There are people here that probably have pickup trucks with 8-tracks still in it. Say, how do you know? They're the ones that push their truck out of the parking lot. But let me say to everybody here, God said, if Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, we're wasting our time with all the preaching. But it's not a waste of time. Preaching is still changing lives because it's attached to the success of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only that, he said, look, if Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, your faith is vain. Your faith is a waste. Now let me testify. I put my faith in this book on many occasions, and God has never let me down. Boy, I've seen the power that's connected to the resurrected Jesus Christ. I've seen it in my own life. There are so many things that you and I as Christians, we do them. We do them out of faith. Boy, you get saved by faith. You forgive by faith. You give to God by faith. You make moves toward God and you sacrifice and you obey by faith. Now folks, if Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, our faith has been a fairy tale. We've been lying to ourselves. But there's a good thing coming here. We're not lying to ourselves. That faith is reality. Your faith is in the right thing. Jesus did get up out of that grave. Keep your faith in the resurrected one. Keep listening to the preaching that finds its roots and its power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only that, in 1 Corinthians 15, it said, those that preach are liars if Jesus didn't get up out of the grave. Well, listen, you've known some great preachers. I've known some great preachers. You've shared the gospel. Folks, you know, if Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, everybody in here that's any type of a Christian at all, you're a liar. That's what the Bible says. You're a liar. You've told people about the resurrection. You've told people about Jesus. But the thing is, you're not a liar. You're telling the truth. But God said, look, the resurrection, that resurrection, it is what preaching is really all about. And the resurrection, it gives us the confidence to place our faith in the Jesus of the resurrection. And all preachers and everybody that ever shares that truth, they'd be liars. But you're not a liar. You're telling the truth. Then it says, if Jesus be not resurrected, then we're all still in our sin. You know what that means? We're all on our way to hell. See, we can't buy our way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. Now, if you do works, I'm for you doing that. That's not what gets you to heaven. You get saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, the work for salvation was done by Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He was crucified. He was buried. And he topped it off with a resurrection. And that's how he paid for your ticket and my ticket to heaven. If Jesus was not resurrected, we're all still lost and on our way to hell. But I've got good news for you. I'm not lost And I'm not on my way to hell. When I was a 16-year-old boy, I realized I was a sinner and Jesus was the Savior and He had taken care of a ticket to heaven for me. And if I, by faith, would ask Him to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, be my Savior, He would save me and take me to heaven someday when I die. I did it. He did it. I'm going to heaven and I'm not worried about my eternal soul. Jesus saved me. But it's all dependent on the truth of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 said, if He didn't raise, all preaching is a waste of time. If He did not raise, all your faith is a waste of time. If He did not raise, we're all just a bunch of liars. If He didn't get up out of that grave, we're still in our sin and we're on our way to hell. Then he said, listen, if Jesus did not raise, all your loved ones who have already passed on, they're in hell right now. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 told us. If He didn't get up out of the grave, that means Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle Roy, they're in hell. Say, why? Because if Jesus didn't raise, they were putting their faith in the same thing we were putting our faith in. But look, folks, you don't have to worry about that. Your Grandpa that trusted Jesus trusted a resurrected Jesus. And your Grandma that trusted Jesus trusted a resurrected Jesus. And your old pastor friend that passed away, let me tell you something. He trusted a resurrected Jesus. But Paul said, let me warn you folks, if the resurrection is not true, everybody in history that ever put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're all burning in hell right now. But they are not burning in hell. They're in heaven playing tag with the angels. They're looking down on Resurrection Sunday saying it's true. It's true. You don't have anything to worry about. Keep your faith there. Keep listening to the preaching. Keep telling the truth. Keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Jesus is coming again and He's been alive ever since that day, up from that grave, He arose. But not only that, he said, if the resurrection is not true, really the whole purpose of the Christian life is a waste. It's a waste. He said, we should be most miserable. I got a lot of things I'd like to say right now. There's some of you in here, you're most miserable and you're saved. Might be good that you get a little resurrection power in your everyday life and get your eyes off the negative and on the positive of Jesus Christ. But He said, if Christ be not risen, you're miserable. You ought to be miserable. Say, why? Well, I'll tell you one reason why. If Christ be not risen, I don't have heaven to look forward to. The only thing I have to look forward to is this life. Now, that could be a bummer. Now, I thank God for my life, and I really enjoy life. But I'll tell you something. I am looking forward to the life that's coming. There won't be any taxes there. There'll be no more pain there. There'll be no more death there. There'll be no more heartache there. There'll be no more sickness there. There'll be no more heart attacks. There'll be no more strokes. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more blindness. You won't be deaf there. You blondes, you won't be dumb there. When you get to heaven, you won't have that as a curse upon you. There'll be no more baldness there. But don't get upset. God only puts marble tops on things of great value. Or if there are no brain cells for the root to latch onto to get food. Look right at me. Don't let anything disturb you. The Bible's telling us here that if Christ be not risen, most everything that you and I cling to, it's all a waste. The preaching is a waste. Your faith is a waste. The telling of the stories of the Bible, it's a waste. You're still in your sin and on your way to hell. You've wasted your life. Your loved ones that have passed on, it was a waste. They're in hell right now. And you're miserable. But here's one thing. I'm not miserable. You're not miserable. He's not a liar. He's alive. The preaching still works. Our faith is still going to be rewarded. Jesus is alive. I love to say it. I think I say it every Easter. Beer belly Buddha died, went to the grave, and stayed. But I serve a risen Savior. He's alive, and He's well. whatever's happening anywhere in our world, let me just tell you something. You keep your eyes on the risen Savior. He's alive. He's got it all under control. He knows what's happening. Ask Google about modern day miracles. And Google told me it was about a dog named Sissy, a 14-year-old named Jack, 122-year-old woman named Janine, the Yahoo company being able to yodel their theme song. Google's not as smart as what Google thinks, huh? Thing that should have come up all the way at the top, that Google search, was a man named Jesus Christ that was the sinless Son of God that was put in a grave, and he so loved mankind that he died and bodily resurrected. That's what should have come up at the top of the Google search. It does come up at the top of the Bible search. If you're a Christian today, thank God for the resurrection. If you're not, he died for you. He was buried for you, resurrected for you. If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you ought to get born again. The highest recommendation I could give to a lost person is this. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The rest of life will begin to fall into place after you have Him living in your heart to help you with that life. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact that you would go to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. If you're not sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Why don't you let me pray for you? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you're here, you say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I wish I did know. I wish I did. Who with an uplifted hand would say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Will you raise your hand? See, I don't know. I'm born again. I see a hand. Someone else, you see, I don't know that I'm born again. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. How many of you, you're in church today, you'll not lie to yourself, you'll not lie to me, you'll not lie to God, but you would say, if I died today, I know for a fact. I know for a fact I'm saved. I have trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand, let God see it? God bless you. Lots of hands. You may put your hands down. Hey, folks, let's live the victorious Christian life. Let's be reminded that the preaching, it's not a waste. Our faith in God, it's not a waste. Why? We serve a risen Savior. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, that power of that resurrection, it's lasted all these years. I need to get that a little more involved in my life. I need that confidence. I need that faith. And maybe somehow the sermon today just strengthened your faith to where you say, you know what? I'm connected to the right thing here. I'm doing the right thing. I'm serving the right God. I'm doing right with my life. All that preaching, it is good for me. My faith invested in God, it is good for me. Maybe somebody here would say, I just need a strengthening of my faith. I see my Savior is resurrected. I see it. I need to share it and be made stronger by it. Who here would say, I needed a dose of courage today from the resurrected Savior, and I think I picked up a little bit of it just by what I've heard about Him today. Would you raise your hand? Lots of hands up already. God bless you. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. Here's how it's going to work. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play, and once they do, we're going to stand. We'll not come and go. It's time for an altar call. It won't take long. But if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and you'd like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you step out and you come toward the front. We'll help you to get where you need to get baptized. If you're going to join the church, you step out and you come forward. If you just need to come and pray for a second, you come and you get to this altar and you pray for a second. It won't take long. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. But folks, giving God a couple minutes in an altar call won't hurt you, seeing whereas everything He's given for you. You do serve a resurrected Savior. Say, it's a little inconvenient for me right now. Don't you think it's inconvenient to die and self-resurrect? Just hang on. We'll be on our way in a moment. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to come, would you please come? Men that work the altar, help me make sure that visitors are not moved, but our regular people are moved if folks need a seat.
little bit faster, if you will, Brother Hollinger. If you need the altar, you come. Has your faith slipped? Maybe you need to rejuvenate that faith a little bit. We do serve a risen Savior. If you need to be saved, you come. If you've been saved and not made it public, if you'll come, we'll help you with that. The altar's still open if you need it. You may come. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again, and the resurrected Christ will save you. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you're an adult, we can baptize you on the spot. We do have people preparing for baptism. If you've been saved and baptized after your salvation, you would like to join membership with an old-fashioned independent fundamental Bible believing church, you may come and become a part. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get saved, you get baptized, you join the church. That's scriptural. That's the way God teaches it. If you just need a moment at the altar, it won't be long. One more time through the song, if you will, Brother Hollinger. One more time. Thank you, Brother Hunger.